We'll now convene the January 10, 2012 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. We'll now call the meeting to order. First off, I've reviewed the minutes of December 13, 2011. I'll approve them. Signature. Will all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings, please step forward and be sworn. Okay, we have any announcements to be made before I move on to the hearing of the cases?
Yes, Mr. Bukowski, we have two announcements. Case number 19 on the agenda, which is case number SMG-01-1210 at the address of 224 Kingston Avenue is in compliance. And also, there was an add-on, an addendum to the agenda indicating miscellaneous business, which was for 507 North Ridgewood Avenue. That's being withdrawn.
Hey, is that it?
Also, number four on the agenda, which is case number SMG-09-1193, Terry and Russell Clonch, address 202 Harvey Avenue. That is also in compliance, compliance date 12-7-2011, compliance date 1-5-12. Okay.
That's it. Very good. Alright, then we'll proceed to hear our first case on the agenda, William Alfred Pitwart. Will you please step forward and be sworn?
Hello, Your Honor.
Good
morning. My name is William Henry Bitworth. Yes, I do.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let me ask our inspector what we're lacking in the way of compliance.
The case is in compliance. The city is looking for a will fine.
All right, did you want to be heard with regard to the will fine?
Sure, yes, sir.
Do you know what a will fine is?
No, sir.
The city is asking for a ruling from myself that would be in place that says that if you commit a similar violation in the future, you can be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000. I think this is still $5,000 per occurrence?
Yes, it is.
$5,000 per occurrence.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I wouldn't thank you for it, but I appreciate
okay.
the courtesy. But the question is, did you want to be heard? Did you want to argue against it? Did you want to say anything with regard to it?
No, the argument will come later. I just got to look over everything first.
Argument will come later.
Yes, sir. Yeah. No, I'm just getting all the paperwork looked over. I'm looking over everything. It's going to take me some time to ingest everything. I have, you know, just because I incurred the license at, I think, January of 09, and I was operating since 09. And I believe in 2010 the ordinance changed.
So in other words, you're looking into any possible challenges that may be available.
Absolutely.
I understand that, and that's fine.
Absolutely.
All right. I don't know how pertinent that is to this morning's proceedings, but in any event, you absolutely have that right. By all means,
thank you, sir.
That's your inclination, we'll pursue it. All right. Based on the report of our inspector, I find that the respondent, who was previously in non-compliance, is now in compliance. But with that, I will also find that for any future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Okay? Is that it?
Yes, sir. Happy New Year,
good
sir.
Luck to you. Thank you. Case number two, ADJ and SRJ Investments Incorporated.
Good My name is Darren Schifferty. Yes, I do.
All right. This matter is here for a progress report. Compliance apparently is presently anticipated for February 14, 2011. So, yes, I'm sorry. 2012. Okay, who's going to give me a compliance report? A progress report, rather.
Well, we had to jump through a bunch of hoops, and that was basically reduced the number of units, and there's been other activity, but we've gotten through that, and I believe the permit's is downstairs being ready to be pulled, so we can start.
And are you still on track for your February 14th compliance date?
I believe we will make it.
Very good. All right. Thank you for the presentation, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 3, James W. Corwin and David Schweibisch. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing anyone for the respondent. What say the city?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector of the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG061156, City of Daytona Beach versus James Corwin. Property address is 1129 Hillcrest Drive. Parcel ID is 5238150280 for working without permits. When we were last here, the property was sold. We had a new owner. We added the new owner, correct? And there still have been no permits obtained. The city would like to motivate them with a small fine of $50 per day until...
What now?
The city would like a small fine of $50 a day until a permit is obtained. Since the new owner has come on board, I've had no contact with him.
And the new owner has notice of these proceedings and his joinder?
Yes, sir.
And the respondents were to have been in compliance on January 4th?
There were two have been in compliance. That was before the new owner came on board.
Respondents the sum of $50 per day, commencing January 4, 2012, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or until the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Thank you.
Thank you.
Case number 4 is in compliance. Case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6, Jerry King. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Good morning, my name is Officer Garcia. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This case number SMG11-11-113, City of Daytona Beach versus Jerry King. Property address is 1010 South Grandview Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number 0915330720030. And violations were peeling paint, faded paint, and dirt and grime, weeds, ground covering, outside storage, damaged concrete steps, and no occupation license. All except the occupation license has been completed. So we're looking today for a fine of one-time fine of $250 for no occupation license. They did have one and failed it and never returned to correct it. I'm sorry, this one never applied for it.
Based on our inspector's report,
this is the final.
Mr. Cubs, just for clarification for the record, I think the inspector misspoke. The address is 210 South Grandview Avenue.
So as I understand it, everything is in compliance except for the occupational license.
Correct. Every problem.
All right. That being said, I find the respondent to be in compliance with everything but the occupational license, and find the respondent the one-time administrative fee of $250 for failure to obtain occupational license. Is that covered?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Case number 7, Peter W. Bandemer. Anyone here for the respondent? And what say the city?
My name is Officer Garcia. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number SMG 11-11-114, City of Daytona Beach versus Peter W. Bandemer. Property address 117 Westwood Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel number 301-533-0300-670. And the violation is no occupational license for renting. This is the one that they had applied for the license, paid for it, and failed it, and did not return to correct it. So I'm asking for city's asking for a one-time fine of $250.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent for sum of $250 for failure to obtain his occupational license.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Case number 8, Walter W. White III, Robert H. White, and Frederick C. White. Anyone here for the respondents? Let's say the city.
My name is Officer Vicki Langford. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is case number SMG 07-11-80, Walter W. White, Robert H. White, and Frederick C. White. Address is 37 South Wild Olive. Parcel number is 04153301110151. We were here today for the imposition of a fine. I have been in contact and made a number of visits to this property, and he is in the process of a gut rehab on it. I have not cited him for the inside issues. In talking to him and being on site, I believe by the next cutoff he's going to be finished with all the things that I issued him a citation for, and then he can work on the inside. So I'm looking today to amend to the next cutoff, at which time I hope we have compliance.
I assume he has whatever permits he needs.
Absolutely.
In order to do whatever work he's doing.
Absolutely.
And it's your anticipation that when he's done with that, these complaints will be history?
Correct.
And how far down the road am I amending the compliance date to?
30 days. Next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report, I'll amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until February 8, 2012 to come into compliance or be returned to the special consideration fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 9, Vandal of Daytona Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, let's say the city.
I'm Officer Vicki Langford, employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. It's case number SMG 08-11-82, Vandal of Daytona, Inc. Property address is 614 East International Speedway Boulevard. Parcel ID 09153307200101. We are here today on this one also to impose a fine. There has been no significant progress since the last time we were here. I'm looking, he's got the property next door in addition to this one. He's made some efforts to come into compliance. He's just not there. Rather than continuing this on for any length of time, I'd like to impose a small fine and of $25 a day, maxing at $20,000.
Okay. know what the property owner's intended use of this is?
Last time he was here, he was talking about somebody had an interest in putting some sort of a fast food restaurant or something of that nature, and he's not really had any too much problem with most of the other repairs. His big stumbling point was the repaving, and he also owns a property next door, which he was in the process of repairing, and now a car's run into that, so he's dealing with insurance on the other property, too, which has nothing to do with this one, other than he has a number of things going on that are impeding his progress.
Based on our inspector's report, I will fine the respondent the sum of $25 per day commencing January 4, 2012 and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the fine reaches the sum of $20,000, whichever occurs first. Are there things going on with the neighboring property? The neighboring property is the bar.
Correct. And it was last time I was there, where it had been hit by the car, nothing had been changed. So I don't know. I don't have that case, and I don't know what has happened with the insurance company or what's going on with it. I just know nothing has changed.
Very good. Thank you. All right. To the new cases. Julius Horvath. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is case number SMG011201, City of Daytona Beach versus Julius Horvath. Property address 1014 Berkshire Road, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID 12153205000040. The violations are Land Development Code, Article 18, Section 7.3, General Appearance Standards. Article 18.7.3.1, materials and other equipment stored on the exterior of the property, and City Ordinance 90-297, no occupational license. The statutory requirements for notification of a hearing have been met by notice of hearing and affidavit of code violation were sent by a certified mail to the address listed by the property appraiser's office. The green card was signed for and has been submitted as exhibit. In addition, the notice of hearing and affidavit of code violation were posted at City Hall 10 days prior to the hearing. All of the items for this case, as well as the photographs, have been labeled as Exhibits A through F. The originals have been submitted to the clerk as evidence. Copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to the special magistrate for use during the hearing. On this case, I did a verbal notice when I drove by, and all of the firewood and the other materials that are stored on the outside, and he originally said he was going to get rid of it. Upon reinspection, none of it was gone, and then I talked to him a third time, and most of it is gone. And now I have been in contact with the owner of the property. There's still some left. There's still a trailer left. There is significant improvement in talking to the tenant and the property owner. It looks like we should have compliance by the next cutoff. So I'm looking for non-compliance next cutoff.
And that includes the obtaining of an occupational license?
Yes.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 8, 2012, will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter, and imposition of the one-time administrative fine of $250 for failure to obtain occupational offices. That cover it?
Covers it.
Case number 11, Horak and Lugler Properties Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent?
That's in compliance.
It's in compliance. Case number 12, Gilbert Miara.
Gilbert Miara, 43 South Atlantic, Daytona Beach.
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right. Can I find the respondent in noncompliance? Madam Inspector, how much time should reasonably be required to bring the property into compliance?
It should be in compliance by the next cutoff.
Yeah.
Next cutoff is February 8th. What do you say?
98% should be done. As a matter of fact, they're working on them right now. It should be done in the next 10 days.
If you get 98% of it done by February 8th,
I don't see a problem.
Please.
Yes, sir.
We'll worry about the other 2% later.
Not a problem.
All right, with that, I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 8, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Don't forget to stay in touch with your inspectors
and
renew your final inspection.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Case number 13, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated.
Good morning. For the record, Michael Woods with the law firm Cobb Cole, 351 East New York Avenue, DeLand, Suite 200, on behalf of the owner, GEA.
Okay, Mr. Woods, do we agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, we do, sir.
All right, then I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Madam Inspector, how much time should reasonably be required for the respondent to come into compliance?
In talking to the representative for the property owner, I think 45 days, so if we're looking, that'll be March.
March 7, 2012. Let's say the respondent.
That'll be perfectly okay. Thank you.
All right, then I order the respondent to come into compliance by March 7, 2012, and will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 14, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. Mr. Woods, I assume you're appearing as well.
I am indeed.
Very good. And do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
We do, sir.
All right. I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Madam Inspector, how much time should reasonably be required for the respondent to come into compliance?
Same as the prior case, 45 days, which will take us to the March cutoff.
It's just March 7th. Let's say, Mr. Woods.
That would work just fine for us. Thank you.
Order the respondent to come into compliance by March 7, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thank you very much.
Case number 15, George T. Caffery and Joseph Weiber. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
My name is Vicki Langford. I'm employed by the City of Utah Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. This is case number SMG011206. City of Utah Beach versus George Caffery. Property address 312 North Hollywood, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID 53051116-0012. Violations are the exterior surfaces have mold, mildew, peeling paint, and deteriorated rotting wood surfaces. The statutory requirements for notification were met by notice of hearing and affidavit of code violation being sent to the property owner at the address listed with the property appraiser's office. Green card was not signed for. Both notices were posted at the property address and at City Hall at least 10 days prior to this hearing. In addition, copies of the notice were mailed by first-class mail to the property owner. All the items for this case, as well as photographs, have been labeled as Exhibits A through H and submitted to the clerk as evidence. Copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to the special magistrate for use during this hearing. The property is still in noncompliance. I have had conversation with the property owner fairly recently. He's planning on actually moving down to this property and going to be making repairs in January. So as of now, we're in noncompliance next cutoff, and hopefully I'll have some more information at the next one.
All right. Are the repairs such that were he to move down here in January, he can complete them by February 8th?
I believe so.
Right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance and order him to come into compliance by February 8th, 2012. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 16, Asgill Edmondson.
Well,
and gentlemen. If you would please state your names for the record.
My name is Eddie Asgill.
My name is Lauren Cooley, representative Amright Construction. Lauren, L-O-R-N-E, Cooley, C-O-O-L-E-Y. Yes.
Okay, so then is it Mr. Asgill?
Yes.
Okay, you're the owner of the property?
Yes.
Okay, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should reasonably be required for the respondent to come into compliance?
He should be in compliance by next cutoff.
Next cutoff would be February 8, 2012. You gentlemen think you can be done with the work by February 8, 2012?
The work is pretty much done. The problem is we just got to get the inspectors, get everything signed off. So the work is done.
Okay.
Everything done.
All right. So you're telling me you think it's nothing more than finishing up the paperwork?
That's all it is, finishing up the paperwork.
All right. Well, then I'll order the respondents to come into compliance by February 8, 2000.
I just want to deal with it in this order. Is the correct name then... Edmondson Asgill?
Well, that's the official name. It's, I go by Eddie or Edmondson, and I never know which is official. Edmondson is the official name.
Yeah, so it's kind of correct there as well.
Okay.
For the record.
So the name's correct?
Yes.
It's just reversed. I think it's the
proper. Sometimes they call me Eddie, which is a shortened form of Edmondson.
Your art style just has it backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I changing the caption or is it fine?
I'll make it change.
You wanted to read what? Edmondson Asgill?
Yes.
So be it.
What is your first name?
Edmondson.
Okay. All right. All right, then I'll order the caption to be amended to read Edmondson Asgill.
Yes.
And also order the respondent to come into compliance by February 8, 2012, or be referred to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Stay in touch with the inspector. Make sure he does his final inspection.
Thank you.
Case number 17, George Stafford II and Marjorie Stafford. Morning.
Good morning.
Would you please state your names for the record?
Marjorie. I'm George Stafford II.
Marjorie Stafford.
Okay. Is this young lady going to be speaking?
No. Yes, I'm Deb Glenn Love.
All right.
And my name is Marjorie Stafford.
Very good. What's everyone here?
No. Yes.
Okay. Do we agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. I find the respondents to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondents to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Next cutoff. Next cutoff is February 8, 2012. And I assume compliance means removing a junk vehicle and not parking in the yard.
It's
yes.
Not.
Hang on a second.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. What say the respondent?
I don't need it. It runs. Like, I just can't move it right now. Like, I need a battery.
It runs, but you can't move it.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not a junk car.
Pardon?
It's not a junk car.
Right.
It's not a junk car.
Does it have a tag on it?
No.
Why don't you ask him what constitutes a junk car? Because I think he can tell you that there are certain elements that have to be satisfied. They qualify a vehicle as a junk car. Mr. Inspector, would you please enlighten our respondent?
Junk vehicle has to be operable and have valid tax.
Right.
So it's not junk in the sense that it's a piece of junk. It's junk in the sense that it doesn't satisfy those two requirements. All right, now, how much time do you need in order to come into compliance? And coming into compliance, I assume with regard to the vehicle, means it's operable and it has a current tag.
And properly parked.
And properly parked, meaning not in the yard. All right, the inspectors indicated that y'all ought to be able to figure this out by February 8th. What do you say?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then I'll order the respondents to come into compliance by February 8, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. If you have any questions regarding what's needed to come into compliance, give this gentleman a call. He'll be happy to explain it to you. All right, good luck to you.
All right, Kevin.
Case number 18, David Walker. Did you hear from the respondent? Let's say the city.
Good morning. My name is John Stenson. I'm code enforcement inspector employed by the city of Daytona Beach. My qualification on record with the city. This is case number SMG 01-1209, City of Daytona Beach versus David Walker. Property address is 147 Kingston Avenue. Parcel ID is 533-814-00-0020. He's been violations of working without permits. This particular case has been going on for quite a while. He has actually had three permits, meaning one was applied for, twice renewed. The building official at the time has already stated and documented that there will be no more extension of the permits for work on this property. Property has literally been in the state since 2009.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously, we're here for non-compliance. Actually, I can't go any further than that right now. But when it does, when and if it does come back, we will be asking for a fine retroactive to today.
All right. Well, I recognize Mr. Walker's name. I definitely recognize Mr. Walker's neighbors. So refresh my memory. Why is this not here for a fine already? Or explain to me why it's not here. What were we here for last time?
The last time we were here for his outside storage of junk and debris.
Okay.
The reason why we're not actually going for a fine today is because he actually renewed this permit twice. So it would go all the way up to the point where he would come before the magistrate and he would renew. Then it'd be backed off. Then the permit would expire again. It'd be put on the agenda. He would renew. This time, there has been no renewal because the building official will not renew it because of lack of progress. That's the only reason it's not here for an imposition of a fine.
And the violations expired permits?
Correct.
Mr. Kelger, in just discussing this matter with the inspector, this case is there's been findings of noncompliance against this violator on other cases, not specifically this. Was it this address?
For the same violation, the same address. He has
brought same violation.
In the past.
With that being said, I don't know if there ever was a formal request for a woke fine. But whether there was or there wasn't, this would be a repeat violation. And with it as repeat violation, it would be proper for you to be able to consider, if you so desire, to consider imposition of a fine at this first juncture. And that is our request.
That's correct.
Okay. And our request is for that, for you to impose a fine.
Okay. I get the sense that Mr. Walker is something akin to an habitual offender.
I believe
that's just my term of art. That's not to say or suggest that I've pre-decided anything yet. But this owner of this property has some history here. I'm a little uncomfortable with the nature of the violation that's brought before us. expired permits. I guess I'm just saying I'm unfamiliar with that. I mean, I can certainly relate to not doing the work, and I can certainly fine people for not doing that. The expired permits, I guess, is just something I'm not familiar with. So we're going to cite him because he's allowed permits to expire?
It's essentially working without permits.
Well, I can relate to working without permits.
That's basically what he's doing right now.
All right,
or
so you're clarifying for my benefit.
Yes, sir.
That what we're talking about, notwithstanding the use of the term expired permits, is working without permits.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very well. That I can understand. All right, did you want to be heard before I say anything? I'll let you talk if you keep it short. I think I have a pretty fair idea of what you want to say.
Okay. I hope that the city will support the inspector's efforts to...
Oh.
Can you
call
the testimony about providing the vehicle to the inspector?
Yes. I certainly hope that you will support the city's efforts to do something with Mr. Walker after 4 years, 8 different cases, twice with fines that were then allowed. He got a... Somehow they were relieved of those fines. He's never really been accountable when he has people work on it. They're not licensed. They're the homeless in the neighborhood. The work isn't done properly to any standards whatsoever. It used to be a very cute little house once upon a time, and it no longer is. He's pretty much destroyed everything.
All right, well, it may not... feel particularly gratifying, but let me assure you the city is doing everything it can. You may not believe it, because we don't get to just go grab people, beat them up, and throw them to jail. Although you'd probably be a fond of, you'd probably be
not necessarily
interested in that. But my point is, the administrative wheels are grinding. So that's
yes,
whatever
they are.
Assurance that I can give
on,
you.
On a 4-year path. It's okay. I'm patient. I'll wait. As long as we stay current on it, I would appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Okay. But right now, one more question. It's here for compliance or non-compliance, and you're asking about a will fine?
No, what I'm saying is that he is here as far as a repeat violator.
Right.
And as a repeat violator, you can't sanction him on an issue, so you don't have to limit this to a finding of compliance or non-compliance. You can make a finding of compliance or non-compliance as per the statute, and sanction him at this initial proceeding. And if you need a statutory reference,
well, you're the city attorney. Tell me how I do that. and I'm not looking for a legal lesson here. So what you're telling me is this man falls into some sort of category. It allows me to not only find him in compliance, understanding that this is the first time this particular item is before me, but I can also impose a penalty.
Yes, that's correct.
If I determine him or find him to be a repeat offender.
Yeah, that's correct. It's 162.06 subsection 3 of Florida.
Is this Mr. Walker by any chance?
Yes, it is.
Your ears must have been burning. We're up. Could you please state your name and be sworn?
David Walker. Yes.
All right. The notice of the violation that we're here on right now says expired permits, which it have been told constitutes working without permits. Do you agree that violation existed or occurred?
I do not agree on the grounds that there has been no work done with and permits are expired, but there hasn't been no work done recently on my house.
Okay, well, since the respondent's now here and we're starting over, let's hear from our inspector. Would you explain to me then the basis for your conclusion that you believe the respondent is in noncompliance?
He is correct. There has been no work done on the property, which is part of the problem here. These permits have been issued and in place for about 3 years now, and there's been no progress on the property. the building inspectors have been out there with absolutely no progress. It has been in this state for 3 years. He has obtained a permit to do the work. He just has chosen not to do the work. So he had a permit to do the work. He's chosen not to. We can't control that. Unfortunately, his last extension on his last permit has expired, and the likelihood of him obtaining another one to do the same thing is extremely remote.
Historically, and I'm not going to hold you to it to the best of your recollection, what has he been cited for?
Historically,
failure to obtain permits.
Failure to obtain permits.
As opposed to an identification of the work to be done.
All the work has been itemized, or all the violations have been itemized. The fact that he needs permits has been itemized. He's been cited for outside storage numerous times on the property. Just about any violation that can probably occur during a construction site or construction time over the course of 3 years of no progress has been cited and addressed.
All right, I guess what's paining me right now is I think our exasperation with Mr. Walker is bringing us perilously close to maybe creating an order that might not be defensible. I don't have a problem telling the man what he needs to do. I don't have a problem telling him to get it done by the next cutoff. I don't have a problem fining him. And given the historical pattern we've been dealt with, I don't have a problem fining him significantly. All that having been said, I got just enough lawyer in me to worry about the nature of the violation that he's been cited for and whether that would withstand scrutiny. So we're here on expired permits.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that was working without permits.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm being told, yes, historically in the past he's been told what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. He was specifically told to get permits. He didn't get permits. I'm getting the sense that not getting the permits is what he was cited for. He would go and get a permit. That would cure that, and then this whole cycle would start over again.
That's exactly correct. So ultimately, the underlying violation is no permit for any work being done on the property.
Well, I respectfully disagree. I think the underlying violation is all the work that he's never done.
Well, correct. Correct.
It would be subsumed within the permit.
Yes.
That he would be required to obtain.
Yes.
And I just, and like I said, the only thing that concerns me is to what extent, if you all are satisfied that the expired permit violation here encompasses everything that needs to be done, encompasses everything that he's been required to do or needs to be done to the property, that's fine. I'm just asking questions here.
If I can just have a minute with the inspector. Mr. Kelly, after speaking with the inspectors and as well as Mr. Garcia, I think it will be cleaner and more appropriate for us to ask for this case to be continued with the expectation or withdrawn with the expectation of reciting for next month's meeting with an itemization of what needs to be brought into compliance. And in so doing, we believe that it will be a clear representation of the violation. And would once again, as we said before, we believe we'll put the magistrate in a posture of the ability to sanction at the next proceeding as per statute.
All right. I don't want the case withdrawn. I want it left.
Okay.
I'm inclined to continue it to the next meeting. I want whatever inspections need to be done for an appropriate notice of violation, or for this notice of violation to be, let me rephrase that, for this notice of violation to be supplemented with whatever in fact needs to be done to bring this property completely into compliance. And then we are going to take a hold of this, and we're either going to bring it into compliance or impose a fine, either way. All right, now, so those are just my inclinations right now. I haven't heard from Mr. Walker yet. All right, what say Mr. Walker?
I just wanted to clarify that with this last extension, work had been completed, inspections had been done and passed on both roofing and plumbing. The third issue was electrical, which involved getting in some more extensive framing work done. These previous two job orders or permits, which was the plumbing and roofing, had been completed around March or so, at least last year. And afterwards, during that time, there was extensive limb damage from my neighbor's oak tree, which borders our property line. And the complaints had been filed through the city to have that tree cut down. There was some blocking having that done. Eventually, electrical damage was done to my property, roof damage. And around September, a limb which I had already worn before had actually crashed through the roof. At that point, I stopped work to protect myself and others who may have been working on the property from being injured, possibly, from this type of damage. I sent notices to my neighbor. I tried to get complaints about it through the city. They have this tree cut down, which still stands. I still consider the tree a threat to the property, life, or any other type of injury. It's right there in the front door area of the property. I feel that the tree should be cut down completely. Some work has been done to it, but the tree still stands. It's just a matter of time before it falls, and it may fall towards my property. The reason why work was stopped is because of that issue. And I just want to clarify something that Mr. Stenson said earlier, that no work had been done, which is false. I have the checkoff sheets here in front of me, showing that the inspectors have checked off plumbing and so on.
Okay, well, I'm not a big fan of history, and I find it confusing, especially when multiple people try to reconstruct it. So that's why I'm more interested in getting my hands on a new world order here, which is a violation that's going to specify what has to be done, because rather than kicking this to the curb or getting it out of my face, we're going to pull this thing up here to the dais, and we're going to get it taken care of one way or the other. This property is going to come into compliance, or you're going to be fined. And if there's a problem with the tree, and you have any legal recourse with regard to it, by all means, pursue it. And if any of that recourse is available through the city, by all means, look into it. But my point is, this property is going to be brought into compliance, or there's going to be a fine imposed. So with that, I'm continuing this matter to our meeting on February 14th. At that time, I will expect to see this same case supplemented with the outcome of your inspection and any items that need to be done to bring the property into compliance. And then working forward from there, I will be able to tell who's done what and how much has been done and what have you without resorting to reconstructions of whatever's passed. Okay? So this matter is continued to the February 14th, 2012 meeting. Case number 19 is in compliance. Case number 20, Teresa M. Arias. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Good
Morning.
My name is John Stinson. I'm a code inspector employed with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG0112-11. City of Daytona Beach versus Arias Teresa M. Property address is 427 McGee Street. Parcel ID is 5238-210-0170. We're here about the violations of outside storage of junk and debris, dilapidated fencing, junk vehicles, and the roof. Currently, the outside storage has been removed. The junk vehicle has been removed. However, this house currently sits vacant. The roof is still in disrepair. The fencing is still in disrepair, and it's progressively getting worse with all the broken windows. The statutory requirements were met by posting on the property, City Hall, and sending a first-class mail. They did not respond to the certified mail.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent being non-compliant. And how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
I will order the respondent to come into compliance by February 8, 2012. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 21, William D. Carson, Sr.
William D. Carson. I do. You might not like it.
All right, Mr. Carson, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Only violations I know was storage. And I moved stuff out of there and cleaned the yard up.
And in any event, at the time this notice was served, you had outside storage?
Huh?
At or about the time this notice was served on you, there was outside storage?
Well, I had a trailer there. You know, and I had the yard was messed up, and I cleaned it up.
All right, I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
No later than the next cutoff will be not there.
All right. Our inspector has indicated that it should take you no more than February 8th of 2012.
Okay, see, the trailers and all are gone. All that's cleaned up. That's the way it looks now. What do I need to clean up? I mean, the grass needs cut. There's a few things left in the yard.
Well, it sounds like you got most of it done. We'll tell you whatever's left to be done. And it sounds to me like whatever we are talking about, you ought to be able to. February 8th is more than enough time to take care of it.
It's fine with me. I wish I could get other people to do the same thing that I have to do. I've already lost a business because of this code enforcement and stuff.
All right, well, sorry to hear that. I will order the respondent to come into compliance by February 8, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Contact the inspector if you got any questions about what, if anything, is left to be done, and so he can do his final inspection. He'll put a notice of compliance in the file. That'll be the end of it.
All right.
Good luck to you. Case number 22, Stamenko and Dusanka Angelov. Yes, sir, if you would please state your name and be sworn.
That's the main word.
Yes, sir, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, I do.
All right, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
I would say the March cutoff. There is quite a bit of work on there, given that there's progress continuing on the property. Just recently, there has been activity on the property. I've addressed that. We've also asked to go and get permits. So I actually stopped the work that was happening in the last few days for him to obtain all the permits. With all work being done, he should be able to have it all done by March cutoff.
Okay, Mr. Angelov, the inspector seems to think you ought to be able to complete this by March 7th of 2012. That's the March cutoff. What do you say?
Absolutely, because I have a wonderful crew now that I have. I depended on the wrong man, a property manager who started and never finished, but now I have a good crew.
All right, then I will order the respondent to come into compliance. By March 7, 2012, order to return to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. If you have any question regarding what needs to be done, contact your inspector and make sure you call on him for your final inspection.
Okay. He calls the department.
Yes.
Please do.
Good luck to you. Case number 23, James S. Singleton III.
Good morning. James S. Singleton III. I do.
You've been cited for a failure to obtain a rental license. Do you agree that violation existed or occurred?
Yes, but I wasn't notified until last week.
Okay. Finally responded to being non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
To be in compliance by the February cutoff.
The inspector seems to think you ought to be able to get your rental license on or before February 8, 2012. What do you think?
I have no problem with that.
Is this the $250 occupational license that we're talking about?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'll order the respondent to come into compliance by February 8, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for imposition of the one-time $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, do we have any previous miscellaneous business was withdrawn, as I understand. Do we have any other miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate? Nope, if not,